Good morning. We'll be reading this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. I might mention we have special friends with us today, Darmi and Ella Zachariah. They're Filipinos. Darmi works with KC, and that's how we come to know them. And we've learned to appreciate Darmi and Ella, and their little son Danny is with the young folks. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a message for Christians. For those of you who have a personal salvation relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can claim the blessing of this promise. Let's read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The first verse that I memorized after I became a Christian was John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And the reason I memorized that verse is because that was the verse that the Lord used to point me to the Savior. You believe the message of that verse, you're on your way to heaven. I was in the Navy, PT boat, during the Second World War when I got saved. And after I got saved, got in touch with the organization known as the Navigators. They were great on memorizing verses. They gave us little cards with scripture verses on them, and we would memorize them. And John 5:24 was the first one that I memorized. After I got saved, this one was the second verse. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let's read it again. It is so beautiful. There are promises in here, beloved. If you're a born-again Christian believer, your heart will be thrilled. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us. Speaking to born-again Christian believers. Unconditional. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you can claim the promises of this verse. You can turn your face to heaven and you can say, thank you, Lord, for such a promise. Unconditional. All spiritual blessings. What does that include? Infinite provision. I'm not going to try and measure it. I'm not going to try to calculate it because I don't have a calculator that goes that high. All the spiritual blessings. Notice they are spiritual, in contrast to material. You know, we think of blessings as, you know, food and clothing and a home and a car and a refrigerator and another car and another car. We think of those as blessings. That's not what this verse is talking about. They're spiritual blessings, therefore they are eternal. They're going to be forever. That car of yours in 100 years from now is not going to be worth very much. Probably not worth very much now. Heavenly. Heavenly. Where are these blessings? They're in the heavenly places. Beloved, don't look for the blessings down here upon the earth. Because the blessings down here upon the earth are material, they are temporal, and they're going to disappear. But these blessings are in the heavenlies. That means they're secure. That means that they're out of reach of the enemy. The enemy isn't going to be able to snatch them away from you, because those riches, those blessings, those promises are in the heavenlies. And notice, in Christ. That's a beautiful statement. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you are in Christ. If you have repented of your sins and you received Him as your personal Savior, you are in Christ. And the blessings of this verse are exclusive for those that are in Christ. This isn't just theory, beloved. This is reality. It's way beyond my comprehension. I'm not going to be able to comprehend everything here, because there's enough here. A preacher friend of mine frequently used the statement, that's enough to make the angels in heaven gasp. And that's what you have in this verse. There's enough to make the angels in heaven gasp. Now, these blessings that we're talking about in this verse are in contrast to earthly blessings, earthly mercies. We receive those earthly mercies every day. But these spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1 verse 3 are in contrast, because they are spiritual, they are eternal, they are stored up in heaven for us, they're beyond the reach of the enemy. Now, in order for us to get a little better understanding of the difference between spiritual blessings and material blessings or material mercies, I want to read in Deuteronomy, please, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have in this chapter some of the material blessings that God promised to the children of Israel. And we're going to read these only as a contrast, to contrast the earthly material mercies with the eternal spiritual blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and Moses says, He, the Lord, will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, kine, that's the old English word for cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto you, thy fathers to give thee. Verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Wouldn't that be nice? And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knewest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. These are the material and temporal mercies that God promised the nation of Israel. But they were conditional. They were temporal. They were earthly. They were short-lived. Because Israel disobeyed the Lord in unbelief, they forfeited everything we read about in these verses. Unbelief. But you see the contrast. Our blessings are spiritual, they are eternal, they are reserved in heaven. And only eternity can enumerate all of these blessings. We can't possibly understand what they are like. The first Bible that I owned after I became a Christian I had a habit whenever I found a promise in the Bible, I put the letter P in the margin alongside of that promise. I called them sweet peas. All I had to do is keep turning the pages and looking for the P, and I would read the promise alongside of it. I wish I had that Bible today. It would be very valuable to me. You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? Start in the book of Genesis, go verse by verse, and underscore all of the promises that God has given to us, and put a little P in the margin beside it. And I tell you, you'll have a feast, a spiritual feast. I call them sweet peas. What we want to do with the time that is left for us this morning is to meditate on some of the spiritual blessings. Only some of them. I've got 31 in my notes, and that's only scratching the surface. One of the spiritual blessings, and I'm going to name it number one, the Word of God, the Bible. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a blessing that God has given this inspired book from heaven that gives us everything we need to know about spiritual life? An eternity ahead. God has given us this blessing. all things that pertain to life and godliness are in this book. And by the way, this book is a book of eternity. It's the only book that's going to be in heaven. You better get started reading it now. It's the only book that's going to make it, beloved. You've got a nice library here in BBC, or your home library, or your school library, or your town library, or the president's libraries. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it into heaven. But this book is the book that's going to make it into heaven. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." You know, if we're going to be studying this book in heaven, a good suggestion is to get started with it right now. So that when we get to heaven and somebody mentions Moses, we don't have to say, "Who is Moses?" Or we don't have to say, "Who is Jonah?" Or "Who is Ezekiel?" We'll know. It's a book of eternity. All of the precious promises in this book, the Bible is paved with promises. Chosen in Christ. Can't we put a P beside that one? You and I, as believers, have been chosen by God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that God chose me before I chose him, because it would never happen if it was up to me. Chosen in Christ. The Lord Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." That's a blessing. But I'm going to say, along with that statement, that even though God has chosen you, you have a responsibility. Man has a responsibility. Man is not a puppet that God pulls the string and we do what he wants us to do. He leaves us with a responsibility. We have a responsibility to respond to the message of God's word. We have been chosen by him. That's actually election, isn't it? Now, just so you don't think I'm Calvinist, I'm going to explain to you that I believe in election. That doesn't make me a Calvinist. I believe in eternal security too. I believe in predestination too. Predestination, that's another one of the promises of God. Not only are we chosen in Christ, but we have been predestined. Predestination is not God deciding ahead of time what our destination is going to be, whether it's heaven or hell. That's not the teaching of predestination. You and I, as believers, have been predestined by God to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's the meaning of predestination. God predestined us so that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's predestination. Destination, heaven or hell, has nothing to do with it. Born again. That's another one of those promises. Put a little P beside that verse. Born again. You can't go to heaven without it, beloved. And the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That doesn't mean baptism. That doesn't mean the Lord's Supper. That doesn't mean church membership. That doesn't mean turning over a new leaf and living a better life. You can't get to heaven that way. You need to be born again. That simply means repenting of sin and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you're born again, you have a new nature, something that you never had before. You were born into this world with an old nature, and I think you're well acquainted with that old nature. It's wicked. It's evil. It has bad thoughts. It says bad things. The list goes on and on. That's the old nature that we were born with when we were physically born into this world. But to be born again, you receive a new nature from God. You don't get rid of the old nature. It's still there. But the new nature is going to give you victory over the old nature. Another one, we are accepted in the Beloved One. What does that mean? God sees us just like He sees His Beloved Son. That's enough to make the angels gasp, isn't it? Accepted in the Beloved One. Forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad that your sins have all been forgiven? It's another promise. Claim it. Say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. Free from sin forever. The Lord Jesus on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. Isn't that beautiful? Who did He mean? Forgive who? Oh yes, He meant forgiveness was available for everyone standing on that mountain, that Mount Calvary that day. Forgiveness was available for everyone. Not everyone is going to be in heaven. It is going to depend upon their response to this forgiveness. Free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? No judgment. At the Lord's Supper, we talked about the darkness that came upon Calvary when the Lord Jesus was hanging there. From the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness. Darkness is a symbol of judgment. And it was while He was bearing our judgment, when God was placing our sins upon Him, there was darkness throughout the whole world. And now you are free of condemnation. You can put a P beside that one too. saved from the wrath to come. We read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. We're saved from the wrath to come. Now, I'm aware that if we were to consider the context of that verse in 1 Thessalonians 1, if we were to consider the context, saved from the wrath to come, it has to do, the believer is going to be raptured and saved from the judgment of the great tribulation that you read about in the book of the Revelation. Have you ever read the book of Revelation and read about all of the judgments in the book of the Revelation? Cheer up. Because as a believer, we're going to be raptured and we're going to be saved from that wrath to come. Now, the application of that verse is saved from the tribulation rapture of the future, but it is also true that we're saved from the eternal judgment of the great white throne judgment. Justified. That's another sweet pea. Another promise. All accusations and charges against me have been canceled. Beloved, that's what justification is all about. And justification is related to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We are justified because He rose from the dead. He was raised for our justification. You see, we are redeemed because He shed His precious blood on the cross at Calvary. But we are justified because He rose from the dead and He ascended back into heaven. What does that tell us? That tells us that our living Savior at God's right hand as our great high priest, He is mediating for us, and He is, our living Savior is telling our Heavenly Father, He has been justified. He is justified because I rose from the dead. Reconciliation. That's another sweet pea. Reconciliation. You see, reconciliation in the Bible is we are reconciled to God, not God reconciled to us. God never needed to be reconciled. We were the enemies, and we were the ones that needed to be reconciled. And because of Calvary, you and I can claim the promise of reconciliation. The enmity has been removed, and I'm no longer an enemy of God. That's what reconciliation is all about, beloved. Brought nigh by the blood of Christ. That's another sweet pea. Brought nigh into the very presence of God. No longer a distance. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel saw God at a distance. But in the New Testament, by the grace of God, we have been brought nigh. I am just as near to God as the Lord Jesus Christ is. Isn't that a beautiful promise? In the person of God's Son, I am as near as He. Sanctified. It's another sweet pea. Sanctification. Sanctification in Scripture simply means set apart. And the believer who is sanctified is set apart from the world unto God. That's the meaning of sanctification. Set apart, holy. You know how to spell holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. You thought it was H-O-L-Y, didn't you? Well, it's both. Both are true. Sanctification is set apart, holy, H-O-L-Y to God, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely and fully. Sanctification, that is a big subject. There is pre-conversion sanctification. That simply means election, that we already talked about. God chose us before we chose Him. That took place before you were converted. That's pre-conversion sanctification. But then there is positional sanctification. After you become a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are positionally sanctified because you are in Christ. That makes you a saint. Now, don't go around introducing yourself as Saint so-and-so, because somebody is going to remind you of some unpleasant experiences. But in the eyes of God, beloved, if you're a born-again Christian believer, you are positionally a saint. Paul wrote to the saints at Rome. He wrote to the saint. Now, I know in tradition we think of a saint as an idol up on a shelf someplace. That's not a saint. You read your Bible, you will find that a saint is simply a sinner that has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So if you are a born-again Christian believer, you're a saint, but I'm not going to call you one. That's positional sanctification. Then there is practical sanctification. That's living a separated life, a sanctified life. That touches home, doesn't it? How practical is my sanctification? Is it so practical that my neighbors see a difference? Is it so practical that my neighbors would come to me and say, "What do you have that I would like to have?" Practical sanctification. Then there is progressive sanctification. That is a progress in our Christian life. The moment you became a believer in the Lord Jesus, you were positionally sanctified. But that sanctification should be progressive. You should be, and I should be, more sanctified today than I was when I first trusted Christ. That's progressive sanctification. And then, finally, there is perfect or prospective sanctification. That's going to take place in the future. That's going to take place in the rapture. That's going to take place when the Lord comes and takes us out of this world, and we're going to get rid of the old flesh nature, and we're going to have nothing but the sanctified new nature to bring glory to the name of the Lord. Sanctification. Glorification. Another sweet pea. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you're already glorified. You don't have to wait for the rapture to get glorified, beloved. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven to be glorified. You want a verse for that? Romans 8, verse 30. The believer is pictured as already glorified. Now, the people in heaven might be happier than we are, but they're not more secure. I will come again and receive you unto myself. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Another sweet pea. Complete in Christ. Not only longevity of life, but quality of life. Complete in him. God loves us as he loves his Son. Another sweet pea. We become the children of God, eternal in the heavens. Adopted. As you can see, I have a race with the clock. I won't get all my 31 points in. Adopted. Adopted into the family as sons of God. That's different than being a child of God. Adoption in Scripture. That is brought into the family as sons, responsible sons. Not only are there privileges that we can claim because of our adoption, but there are responsibilities that we have to carry out. And because of this adoption, we can now call God Father. You can put that P beside that promise. No Old Testament saint was ever able to call Jehovah Father. They could call Abraham Father, but they couldn't call Jehovah God Father. There was not such an intimate family relationship under the law. But today, by the grace of God, because of adoption, we can call God Father. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's another promise. And by the way, that's indelible. Can never be erased. The Old Testament priest on his garment had a breastplate. Part of the garment. And on that breastplate was the 12 names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, a constant reminder that that priest was ministering on behalf of the children of Israel. That is similar to our names written in heaven on the breastplate of our great high priest, a constant reminder that we are eternally loved. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. We have become citizens of heaven. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I can understand how Christ qualifies to be an heir to inherit everything from his Father. But beloved, if you're a born-again Christian believer, you are a joint heir with Christ. Put a little P beside that one. We have peace with God. Christ is our mediator, comforter, and advocate, our great high priest. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit. The seal of the Holy Spirit simply suggests ownership. We belong to Him, and we are secure. The earnest of the Spirit, that's the down payment. The anointing of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, enlightens our minds to be able to understand His book, the truths of the Word of God. And concerning the Holy Spirit, we receive the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. We become priests, royal priests, holy priests, members of the body of Christ, the church, friends of Christ. The Lord Jesus says, ye are my friends, a condition, if ye do. That's the condition. Only obedience qualifies friendship with Him. He is able to keep you from falling. All things work together for good to them that love God. I guess we will conclude. I've had to run over these pretty fast. And the reason is there are a few hundred thousand million more on the list. Infinite blessings, I guess we'll conclude. Unsearchable riches, unspeakable joy, love and peace that passeth knowledge. Infinite blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Aren't you glad you're a Christian and can claim the promises of God? I'm going to stop by making this statement. To be continued in heaven. We don't have time down here. We're going to have to continue because we haven't scratched the surface. Let us pray. Father, how we thank Thee for our blessed Savior who has purchased all of these promises. So many promises we can't calculate. All we can do is say, thank you, Lord. All we can do is worship. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.